Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Bruce.
312-332-3776. With Hoodie, I'm Cap.
Bruce.
Carmen Yurk at noon. Guarini at 12. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdal. And we got White Sox baseball tonight as well.
Welcome to Chicago.
Jesse Rogers is our baseball insider, and he's fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. Jesse, who loves you, man? This show does.
Yes, it does. Good morning, guys. Great hour of J.R. Strauss bashing there. I love it.
Bashing. Now, Jesse, I know if anybody, you've made that mistake. Reply all when you're not supposed to.
Yeah, not so much the reply all, but like you, Hoodie, the text to the wrong person, especially when the initials are similar, right? You know, the same initials to somebody, and it pops up on your text messages, just the initials at the top there. I've done that often, more than once. Not often, but more than once. That's not good.
So when you take a look at the Cubs, I mean, first of all, Cap and I have talked about it. It's amazing against I know the Dodgers are in a little bit of a free fall here, but it's still the Dodgers. What does that do for momentum going into the Pirates series?
Sidebar, may I approach you?
Yes.
They started.
Do you have an objection?
I just want to.
Is it an objection?
For context.
Okay.
They started Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler. I don't care who's out in the field. Those are three of the best pitchers in the sport.
Yeah, so. it was a great three games. They fought back twice, being down in the extra inning game, sweeping the doubleheader with Kershaw and Bauer. It was a great series for them, absolutely. And I think the Dodgers are going through that little hangover. Plus, they have a lot of injuries. But the Cubs offense, we've talked about this. It is different now than it was at the beginning of the season. I ran some numbers since that day that Jock Peterson went down, and I'm not saying it's because of him. But it forced David Ross to try some other things. Since that day, they're hitting 50 points higher and getting on base 35% more than they were the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, Peterson is back. Hopefully he contributes. Horner's on the IL, so guys like Peterson have to step up because Horner was putting up some good numbers. But that offense looks and feels different. Your guy, Jay Hood, Jake Marisnyk, listen to this. The Cubs are 4-0 when he homers in
the
game.
Let's go.
4-0 when he homers, and he homered in that extra inning game, right, early on in the game. So that was in doubt, but the perfect record is still there. I love the Duffys, the Marisnyks, and the Sogards, what they're bringing to the table, mixing in with the Sluggers.
So tell me this, Cap. What's more sustainable, Marisnyk or Mercedes? So you say Mercedes is like this April lark. That's what
right.
You said. What about Marisnyk? Is that more sustainable than Mercedes?
I think he's a real solid player. He's not a star, but he's a really solid player.
So is Mercedes.
Very solid. But I don't think he's going to be this guy that, like, oh, my God, we got to get all those jerseys in. He's going to be a star in Major League Baseball. No, but a solid put. Both very solid. I'll give you another guy. You mentioned Sogard. He's all right. Matt Duffy. That's a guy who's interesting to me because I'm not saying he is at that level. He reminds me of DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, he's brought something to the table like Nico Horner has, the Cubs haven't had, right? Zobrist was kind of like that last guy that'll use the whole field, the contact when needed. Duffy's been great. I thought coming out of spring training that their depth was better than it had been, but it was up to the frontline players to perform. And really, we're starting to see them come around, but those depth guys have been probably the best players on the Cubs team. Now, the rotation is still an issue. It's been up and down, but maybe Hendricks found his footing last game. We'll see Zach Davies today and Trevor Williams. They need two runs through the rotation where they get some quality starts. Only one guy has gone as many as seven innings. That was that Hendricks doubleheader game where he pitched the complete game. So that's the issue with the team right now. But I like their offense. I think you guys do too.
So let's not bury the lead here. Let's talk a little bit about Tony La Russa. Obviously, for White Sox fans, it was not pretty, that last game against the Reds. Could you tell me, Jesse, if you've texted with someone that's had a comment that surprised you about La Russa? What kind of feedback are you getting regarding La Russa with the Sox so far?
Well, I'll be honest. I've talked to some agents of players on the White Sox team. I haven't talked directly to any players about La Russa. Not directly. They've been asked on Zooms, but that's pretty useless to ask a player on the Zoom unless you get something reading between the lines, you know, simply saying, what do you think of your manager? They're going to back them. You know, you got to do that stuff in the locker room. And of course, we can't do that this time around. Anyway, there are agents that have players on the White Sox team that are sort of the players are saying to their agents, a few, not all of them. You know, I've had some people in support of Lewis just wondering what the heck is going on. Like, you need to be as sharp as a tack in that dugout, and that's something La Russa was known for forever. But I did investigate a little bit about this rule, and just to at least give the full picture here, I talked to five American League managers, and I'm talking about the extra inning rule where he didn't know he could use someone besides his pitcher. I mean, it could have been a devastating situation if Liam Hendricks gets hurt. They are so fortunate he did not. So five AL managers, two on Zoom yesterday, three via email and text. Chris Woodard on Zoom, the Rangers manager, said, look, I remember the memo. It's one that maybe can get lost. Like, he sort of defended La Russa a little bit, but he said, I do remember the memo where it said we can use the guy that was in the batting order before the pitcher. So Woodward said we remembered it. Matheny said, yeah, I remember the rule as well. But the Kansas City Royals, really interestingly, have an outside third party that investigates all the rule changes, like analyzes it and gives them advice day in and day out. Like a third party they hired because there's so many goofy rules in baseball. So that's probably one reason they're on top of it. Now, maybe the White Sox do as well. I actually tried to look into this yesterday and didn't really get anywhere. But obviously that rule did not get down to Tony La Russa. Now, the three I talked to via text and email, one of the managers did not know the rule and was grateful that I asked about it because now he knows it. This is an American League manager, did not know the rule. The other two were reminded of the rule when I brought it up or when it happened with La Russa. Like, it wasn't foremost on their mind. Now, they weren't playing in the middle of an interleague game. So my point is, it's not exactly a slam dunk that everyone was up on it. But I will say this, that memo gets circulated. The front office absolutely has it. And there are other people in uniform that should have seen that memo. So is the question, did no one remember the memo at all? Or did the process break down where they couldn't get the information to Tony in time? Like, all of a sudden, the video replay guy knows the memo, and those are the guys that get him. Did he see Liam Hendricks out there at second, and obviously it's too late? Or did no one remember the memo? Oh. Those are the questions we don't know. We know La Russa didn't remember getting the memo, but one AL manager didn't remember either. So that's how it all went down.
Couple of points here, Jesse. Yeah. One, we had Anthony Rizzo on yesterday, and I went back and watched the last five innings of the Cubs-Dodgers game from the other night that went 11 innings. And in that game, yeah, in the 11th inning, you were there. They stopped the game, and the four umpires had to get together because they were looking, and they said, we're not sure who's supposed to be on base. Hang on a minute. And then the senior umpire, the guy who I believe was at first base, said, Ted Barrett, exactly right, said, hang on, I got this. And he looked back, and he went, okay, you go there, you're there. That's how this goes. And they got it right. And Riz said, yeah, everybody wasn't sure what goes on. And so Ted Barrett, who's been in the game for 50 billion years, here is what you were referring to about the manager of the Rangers, Chris Woodward, when he was asked about it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I know it's, I know Tony got a little flack for not saying he didn't, but it's one of those rules where they put a memo on your desk and, you know, in spring training where they talk about it briefly. And as an American League team, I could understand why, you know, you might not be aware of it as much. And I know we go to San Francisco. When I saw it happen, you know, I remember reading that. Obviously before a National League series, I would always try to get caught up in all the, you know, any different rules or anything that we need to know as we head into a National League game. Because it could come up at any point in our games as well. I mean, if we lose the DH and all of a sudden we have to double switch and we have a pitcher spot in there. But I was aware of it, but I could understand why, you know, specifically an American League team may not be up to date because it's a memo that you get that, you know, maybe you look over and you don't quite remember it when the time comes.
Is there someone on your staff?
The whole thing, Jesse, is that you don't want to get caught with your pants down. And I will go back again with the young neophyte you know, Miguel Cairo next to him that's supposed to be some tenured old-timer that's supposed to know every trick, every angle to Major League Baseball. And I don't necessarily blame La Russa by himself. It's the staff. Somebody's got to know that. Somebody.
Yeah, no, you have to be prepared. And you heard Woodward. I mean, they're not in the middle of an interleague series, the Rangers, right? The Sox, as they prepare for an interleague series, have to be up on that kind of stuff. And look, the bigger picture here is, if this was La Russa and the White Sox first mistake, we'd be like, oh, damn it. Not other managers didn't know the rule. It's blah, 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 blah. But this is part of a larger picture here. And the phrase I'll use is things falling through the cracks, right? That's what's happening at times, it's seemingly at least, with Tony La Russa. Things are falling through the cracks. And I know everybody was kind of worried about this exact thing. You know, they couldn't pinpoint where Tony might come up short after being away for a decade. But these are the moments. And you're thinking, what's the next moment, right? What's the next? One rule change, a goofy rule that not everyone knows. Okay, that's one thing. But it's on top of everything else that's gone on.
Jesse, I want to ask you about Albert Pujols. So what do you think is the next step is for him? It's interesting, Cap. So 10 years of Albert Pujols, 3 playoff appearances, no playoff wins. Now, this is where we get in the slippery slope of these big contracts. Machado, Tatis, whomever, right? Robinson Cano, it goes on and on, right? One guy can't get paid that much money. All the pressure goes on that one player. It's baseball. It's more than one guy. It ain't the NFL. It's not the NBA. I never believe in the huge contract. If they give it to you, you got to take it. But the idea that Pujols, when he signed the deal, we said, okay, this is not, I mean, is this not?
Years 8, 9, and 10 are going to be ugly.
Yeah. I mean, but nothing to show for it.
Correct.
Right?
Nothing.
And really not in the MVP race any of those 9, 10 years. So, Jesse, how would you characterize the Pujols era for the Angels, and what do you think the next step is for him?
Well, he's going to try to keep playing. That's why that was a weird press conference yesterday. Normally he'd be up there, but when you're DFA'd and you're going to be picked up by another team, you don't have like a swan song with your old team. So that's why it was kind of strange. I mean, I've seen people connecting them to the White Sox because of La Russa. Last time I checked, they have a first baseman and the player of the month, basically, at DH. So I don't see where – I'm almost laughing. Where does Pujols fit in with the White Sox despite them being down a bat or two? Plus, he's like a 190 hitter. So I don't see him with the White Sox. I don't know where he's going to end up. I agree with you in one sense. Now, look, the Angels did spend money elsewhere. It's not like they put all their money in Pujols and couldn't spend anywhere else. They just spent it poorly. They didn't spend it on pitching. They didn't develop pitching. And that's the thing you have to remember. At the end of the day, you're right. One position player doesn't change much. A couple good pitchers does. Pitching still dominates. And that's why with the White Sox down Robert, down Jimenez, maybe Grandel, whatever, not hitting as much, they have the best rotation in the American League by far. By far, and we're not even including Kopech. That's how they survive these injuries, not by thinking about bringing in Pujols or whatever. But it's a reminder that pitching trumps all. That's what I think about the Pujols era. They didn't have pitching over the last decade there.
Jesse, we got to roll. Have a great weekend, okay, man?
You got it, guys. Talk to you Monday. Take care.
We'll talk to you. There he is. That's our guy, Jesse Rogers.
And Pujols doesn't have to play again. He's a Hall of Famer.
He is, but today. He wants to play. He wants to go out on his own terms.
That contract didn't make sense, Cap. I mean, even his best years, I thought, were with St. Louis.
He was incredible. Incredible. He still has a 10-year, $10 million personal services deal with the Angels as soon as he's done playing. Gets $1 million a year for 10 years to make appearances. Pretty good gig if you can get it. 312-332-3776. We will get to your calls. And Jesse Rogers, you just heard him, was fueled by the Pride Stores, not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. Anthony Rizzo, interesting thoughts on spin rate. I mean, really interesting. That's next.
Uh-oh.
Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
So
you can't wait for the weekend, can you?
I'm throwing at 11:15 today.
Where?
In Oak Park. So I go up there. My buddy Chris Fogarty's going to catch me. I'll be ready, and then I'm starting on Wednesday. And right. Hopefully I last an inning.
David Kaplan. Kaplan. All right, Kaplan's finished up his warm-up tosses. Here's the starting lineup for the opposite team. Ginsburg in left. Lowenstein in third.
The league is 99.9% non-Jewish. I had all these guys walking up to me at the game the other night like, hey, we listen to you and Hoodie every day. Would you just tell him I'm not Jewish? Another guy turned and goes, I'm not either.
Garen the catcher. It's funnier that way.
It is.
I understand that people don't get, you know, it's a new show and people don't get what we're doing. We're just putting smiles on people's faces, man. We're just, the whole show is a wink and a nod. But I don't think that a lot of people get that. Danny, do you think people get that mostly it's just a wink and a nod?
Get that. A guy called in during the first segment when we were talking about JR sending the mass email, and JR was playing the email sound effect, and he said, dude, I think you guys have something bleeding over the air. It's really driving me nuts. You got to figure out what it is.
Wow.
So, no, sometimes people just don't get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway.
JR.
Anyway.
You were saying.
Yeah, I'm fired up for the weekend. It's Mother's Day. It's kind of an... What's the best way to put this?
It's melancholy.
It is a melancholy weekend for me because Brett's birthday is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And our oldest is getting married in July, so we're meeting his in-laws tomorrow for the first time. They're flying in from Seattle for the weekend. So we're going to all go to dinner tomorrow night at Lou Canellis' place, Av Lee. We're going to get to meet these, you know, lovely people because we adore our future daughter-in-law, Maggie. And then I'm going to wake up Sunday, and it's the first Mother's Day without my mom.
Right.
So it's weird.
So it's melancholy.
Right. I've got all these great highs. I had my brother's birthday on the 5th. I got my son's on Tuesday. And smack dab in the middle is Mother's Day.
Probably go to the cemetery this weekend to see mom and dad. Probably because they're side by side.
Correct.
Only thing is that, you know, Captain.
Do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go. Absolutely. Their birthday, the day that they passed away. So it's usually four times, maybe five a year.
I'm going today.
So tough. I know it's going to be tough.
It is.
You going by yourself?
I am.
Tough. Even tougher.
Yep.
But it's but you can persevere because you were there.
Right.
Remember that. You were there.
Yeah.
So you
held her hand as she went.
You weren't across the country. You hit flying it. You didn't helicopter in.
Right.
That's the thing. But point I was going to make is that.
I bring them coffee. You know that? Oh, yeah. I set a cup of coffee on each headstone because they loved coffee in the morning.
Right.
So.
Sanka? Anyway, so I was just asking.
My kind of people.
Nonetheless, I'm just saying that, you know, what's really interesting is that when you go to a cemetery, especially the one I went to, if you're going to celebrate a loved one, do you have to have a whole picnic out there? Do you have to set the tables up? And I mean, seriously.
There are people that do that.
That's my problem, right? I'm there. The wind's blowing. They're under a nice shady tree. Say prayers. God bless. I'll see you on your birthday.
How long do you stay?
20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't even think I stay that long.
Yeah, about 20 minutes. Say my prayers. Tell them what's going on in my life as if they don't know.
Correct.
Already.
They see.
But I just say it out loud, you know, and then a little prayer. But the whole deal where you're setting up a whole table is like, You know, I'll tell you what happened at the job yesterday. It's unbelievable.
Hand me the mustard.
Like, what is this setting up the checkered, you know, the table? And the whole tablecloth. What is that? Like, get out of there.
Right.
And it's loud. Like, hey, man, this is a place where I need to be able to have, you know, some peace.
Just give me, I'm there.
Cracking open beers.
8-10 minutes.
I mean, come on, man.
I always pick up a stone off the ground.
Yeah.
So I got three grandparents there, my mom and my dad. So I pick up five stones, one on each headstone, just set it there. Don't ask me why my brother and I both do it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I always bring a baseball around opening day to my dad, and then I'll bring coffee. And I will tell them, hey, here's what's going on. Nick's getting married, and Brett's turning 27. And
that's just conversation,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Show's going great. I found a great partner where you'd love it. I hope you're listening.
Haas,
love you.
Haas coming soon. It's going to be great. I'm going to backstab this guy, and Hall's going to be in here. It's going to be great. I'm going to finish my career in a high.
Take that.
Push the brother out. So anyways, and Marshall would say, good job. So, nonetheless, that's my whole thing. Like, don't set up the picnic table.
Right. And I mean, see it.
I mean, you know, right over the Our Lady of Guadalupe. I don't necessarily need you to be able to set up the whole thing. It's not a party. Cemetery.
Exactly. Say what you have to say and go.
Get out of there, man. I just want my peace. That's why I like to go like on a Tuesday or Wednesday where there's nothing going on. Right. Very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that, Cap. That's not how it's supposed to be. So you were saying about Rizzo.
So Anthony Rizzo was on the show yesterday. He's on every week with us. He is a great friend of the station. And we got to talking about, I think Hoodie brought up middle relievers throwing like 99. Like it used to be the soft underbelly of a team was knock that starter out, eat into that bullpen, and before you get to the setup guy and the closer, you're going to face three failed starters who are like at 88.
Right.
Now the three failed starters are throwing like 99. Like, whoa, where's the easy guy?
Right.
And Rizzo said, well, that's not the only thing. He talked about spin rate and more.
The spin stuff is it's just pretty crazy when you really get into it in depth on how much of a difference it makes as far as the fastballs and even the sliders. And, I mean, not to discredit any – These guys they work so hard, and all these different programs and throwing programs and technology. And you can credit Trevor Bauer for kind of being one of the pioneers in this. Everyone thought he was crazy for, you know, the drive line stuff and his long toss program when he first came in. But you see a lot of these guys now using the weighted balls and just increasing their velocity. You know, sticky stuff or not, guys are still throwing 100 miles an hour. And it's, you know, it's credit to all these pitchers and taking advantage of the technology and continuing to push the human body.
What sticky stuff is he talking about, Danny? What's that sticky stuff he said? Huh?
Yeah, is that something I should be using on Wednesday, Danny?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Thanks, Yurko.
Listen, words to live your life by.
Sticky stuff or not. So you see how you try to get that past us, right?
Yeah, sticky.
I don't know if he tried to get it past us. He wanted us to hear it.
He never talks that fast.
No, yeah.
He got it through it there pretty quickly.
But I also do think knowing Rizzo the way we've had him on for so long, he doesn't say anything unless he wants to say it. Like, he's very protective of his words.
He is, because Danny and I were doing the show one day, and Rizzo... Remember, Danny, we asked him about shortening the season.
And it made national news.
And he said, oh, they absolutely should shorten the season. And I said, hey, you know what, kid? They're going to make you take a pay cut. If you're going to cut that season, he had said like a, what, Danny, what did he say, 145?
Yeah, even maybe less.
Maybe 140, like a good chunk gone. And he said, that's fine. We make too much money anyway. That was his response. USA Today the next day, headline. And I see him at the park. He's like, dude, now I'm a national story. The union's mad.
Well, I mean, you said it, right?
Right.
So it was on your heart. I don't understand how come the sticky stuff comment, Danny, was down on David Muir last night. I was watching. Where was it? I mean, Rizzo pretty much said, no matter its velocity, whatever it is, sticky stuff, whatever you're using, it's getting to the plate quickly.
Right.
I don't know how that didn't lead the news.
And the sticky stuff for people out there allows you to keep your fingers on the ball longer as you're in your motion. So as you come through, not so much on a fastball, a little bit, but when you snap off a breaking ball, a slider, a curveball, you throw something like that, your fingers stay attached longer. Shoo! Much more spin on the ball means much more movement on the ball.
So are you doing that Wednesday?
I wouldn't know how.
You know enough people. Just text Stone.
Dude, you could put a little something sticky on the brim of your hat. They're not going to check you in a 60-plus men's league.
No, I'm not saying they – I've never thrown that way. Do you remember the White Sox pitcher Stan Bonson?
No.
Okay.
That's before my time.
There was a pitcher, and I went to this camp, and I was like 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a baseball camp, and I was playing in college. I go to the camp. He says, hey, come here. I want to teach you something. It's called a spitball. I'm like, excuse me? He said, give me your hat. And he put a bunch of Vaseline on the brim of my hat.
Yeah. There's no Z in Vaseline, by the way.
What did I say?
Vaseline.
It's Vaseline, not Vaseline.
It's Vagisil, but it's not Vaseline.
It's Vagisil. Bardol, Crisco. Or rub a little jalapeno in my nose, get it running. Anyway, he had me, He said, you get to two strikes, I want you to go to the brim of your hat, and I want you to load up your pointer finger, your middle finger, and your thumb with a little bit of Vaseline. Vaseline! Did I get it right?
Yes.
He said, when you throw it, it's going to reverse spin because it slips out of your hand, and it will dive like it falls off a table. I got a guy with two strikes, and I throw it. Strike three. The guy has no chance. I'm like, I'm going to the freaking show. I'm going to be a big leaguer.
Going to the show.
And inning over. I come out. He goes, I told you. He goes, you can't do it all the time because you don't know how to control it.
Right.
The next inning, I'm like, I get two strikes on the first hitter. I'm like, I'm doing that again. Right to the hat. Ball squirts out of my hands and hits a lady in the stands that went over the backstop. There went my career. Danny.
So to go back to Hoodie talking about why didn't David Muir have the Anthony Rizzo stuff. So I texted our guy, Jesse Rogers, national baseball writer for ESPN.com. I said, why didn't you write about Rizzo saying the sticky stuff on the ball? He said, Bristol didn't think it was a huge story. Other players have said similar this season.
But no, but Rizzo hasn't said it.
Correct.
See, that's the difference. Why wouldn't Muir lead with that? Huh? How come Van Dyke didn't write about that in the notes in the paper yesterday?
Van Dyke?
Yes.
It's about Dave Van Dyke.
He retired like 20 years ago.
Where's the Goddard piece? Well, you buy the paper like Goddard's still there. You got the paper in there. Joe Goddard?
Is Joe Mushel in the paper?
He's wrong. Oh, God.
312-332-3776. Shot or no shot is next.
The Golden Fog.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. That's why I say amen. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hook on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
Shot No Shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. And then just stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. Takes 2 minutes and register your account. Danny.
Morning, Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen. And we've got a great prize today for caller 10, 312-332-3776. We are going to give you $100. In on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers and $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook wagers. All you have to do is call right now, 312-332-3776. Be caller 10 and you get the prize.
Sounds good.
Great prize.
Danny, you ever send an inappropriate email, reply all?
No, sir.
I didn't think you would.
I pay too close attention.
I think that'd be a JR.
All right, gentlemen, let's begin.
Not in the last 24 hours, I haven't.
You know why? Because he was a producer for Howard Stern.
Correct.
Many years ago.
And he works on Will Rock.
Yes, and 95 Will Rock overnights. Check it out. And I was carrying Buzz in the Buzz and Wendy show.
Correct. So
taught him how to host.
It should have been JR.
Oh, right.
JR with Buzz and Wendy.
Taught him how to laugh and have fun with the show. But go ahead.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, the great Adam Schefter told Dan Patrick he had the Aaron Rodgers story before the draft, but chose to break the news on draft day. Take a listen.
The funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packer story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers after that game talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And then other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and it was nothing that morning that came in. That
okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talk. And I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
So, gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot? The great Adam Schefter should break news as he gets it.
I'm going to say no shot because having, and not at Schefty's level, just I do it much more locally, having had stories where I've known certain things, there are times you make a deal with a source that, hey, man, you do what you got to do, but I don't want to get beat on this. Let me know when everything's confirmed, or you gave me something, but you're asking me to hold it. I'm going to respect your wishes. So I'm going to say no shot.
You know, it seems as though breaking it on draft day was more dramatic than it would be on some random Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Not, would you say?
Agreed.
It would not surprise me that, you know, Schefter, ESPN says, you know, I've got a story here that I've been sitting on, but this is the biggest platform in which I could break this news. Would that surprise you? This is the biggest platform I could break this news. Let's do it here.
That would surprise me because when Adam Schefter could have been on vacation in Florida like I was last week, laying in a pool and just hit send on his Twitter, and it's as big a story as it was on draft day.
I mean, but he's had it this whole time. But before the draft, but didn't say anything. But he waited until the draft to bring that up.
But I think the call that the Niners had called the Packers, and again, he said there wasn't this hard and fast offer. And John Lynch said, yes, I did call. We didn't even get to an offer. We made a call. They said he's not available. We hung up.
He mentioned Danny Paul Allen from KFan, right?
Yes, sir, he did.
The 49ers. It's almost like Schefter's like, this story's not true. Let me tell you what the real story is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Correct.
I just think that he waited for the right time to do it. When he thought, especially from ESPN purposes, do you break that on NFL Live? No. Not everybody's watching that. But around the draft, that's where the eyeballs are, pal. You want to break it, you break it there. So I would say, you know, if he wants to do it that way, Danny, I got no problem with it. But, you know, Cap and I have had stories. I'm not a newsbreaker, so I'm told stuff, but I don't bring it up on the show because what's the point of it? We're in the speculation business, and we're talking about the games and entertainment and all that.
And opinions.
Yeah, opinions. So, yeah, that doesn't necessarily matter to me from my side of the table.
All right, gentlemen, quickly. We have time for one more.
Oh, no, wait a minute now.
Sorry, my friend. Angels designate slugger Albert Pujols for assignment. Gentlemen, I ask you guys, if this is indeed the end of Pujols' career, shot or no shot, he is the greatest first baseman of all time.
That's a no shot.
Wow. I'm going to go with Hoodie. I'm going to say no shot. And I'd have to go back through the list, but there's been some amazing baseball players that played that position. I'd have to crunch numbers, but first blush, I'd say no shot.
Next one.
Gentlemen, all right, let's go to a non-sports. Well, let's go with this one, okay? Today is National Space Day.
Mm-hmm.
Shot or no shot, you would go to Mars if Elon Musk tapped you to do so.
No shot.
That's a no shot. I'm claustrophobic. I couldn't even be in there for the blast off. I don't know what's scarier, being in a submarine or a spaceship.
If it was something that you were running, Danny, yes. Elon Musk, no. No, I don't believe in that guy.
You know, SpaceX, I will say, is a tight-run ship.
Nope, not with that guy running it. Where's my Starbucks on Mars I was promised? Where's my car, like the Jetsons, that I was promised? I should be able to get to home in 2 minutes. And for Cap, like 5 minutes. How come where's those cars? Those cars in the sky.
Yeah, the flying button my dad used to talk about.
Where is that?
Where is that?
Elon Musk? Musk.
You're better than that.
Musk. I mean, he's got a Tesla Roadster that's like orbiting the moon. It's on its way to Mars.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with going to Mars, right? It takes a year and a half to get there. So if he came to you and said, Jonathan, you're leaving next month, June, to go to Mars, you wouldn't get there until Christmas of 2022.
Would I have a Comrex that I can still do the show?
Absolutely.
can I still tap in?
We wouldn't have it
this
any other way.
This is Jonathan Hood from Mars.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, God! if I could still do the show, maybe I would consider
Excuse me,
it.
Is there a Dunkin' Donuts here?
That's what I want to know. But please, is there sandwiches for me? See, I don't want that. And I don't believe in Elon Musk. The idea that he's even on SNL because of concepts, not for anything tangible. What is he really doing for society as a whole?
Tesla's a great car.
Musk.
Electric cars.
Electric cars. The Tesla's a really good car.
Let me tell you what electric cars are doing. Taking up my prime spaces in the parking lots, pal. That's what that's happening.
Yeah, they got them damn plugs in the parking garage.
But it's always empty. No one has those. Taking up the prime parking spaces. Musk.
My friend, the great Tony Pavic, has a Tesla. He can make the horn sound like a fart noise, like a whoopee cushion. That in and of itself is a reason to get a Tesla.
I want to travel in the sky. Like the Jetsons.
All right. It's a Mother's Day weekend.
Musk.
Who are our favorite TV moms? Who are they? That's next.
Mother.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So it's Mother's Day weekend. For some of us, a little more melancholy than others. But I also get to celebrate my awesome wife, mother of four. So, who are your favorite TV moms?
Well, for your era, it would be June Cleaver.
That'd be Barbara Billingsley.
Yes, June Cleaver, who
rough on the beaver.
Who once said,
"It's gonna be awfully rough on the beaver, I'm afraid."
I don't care. Is there butter in my toast? that's all Ward wanted to know.
Right, and he'd come home and she's in like a full dress, like they're going to a wedding.
Will we ever get back to those days?
No shot.
The skinny black tie, the suit on for breakfast and dinner.
Will you
ever go back to those days, Cap?
Never.
I just think that's a hell of a time.
That's how we used to fly. It was like an honor to be on an airplane.
All right. I have a list here. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to.
Okay, so for me, on the top would be Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show.
Wow.
It was always the feeling that she could take a belt to you at any time. Even though she was sophisticated, you know, The Cosby Show was a top show primetime on NBC on Thursdays back in the day. But Claire was the best. So we can go to Mrs. C.
Mm-hmm.
How cool was Marion Cunningham on the Happy Day show?
Marion Ross as Marion Cunningham on the Happy Day.
She was cool.
She was cool as hell.
Everyone respected Mrs. C, right, JR?
Sit on it.
You sit on it, Potsy. So then from there, 60s, 70s, we're talking Carol Brady.
She was cool.
Carol Brady was cool, right?
Didn't she have an affair with one of the boys?
No, that's the maid. I believe.
Alice? No, Alice was as religious as they came.
No, I think Cap's right.
There's a story out there, yeah.
I think Mrs. Brady got it on with Greg.
I think Alice had it on with Sam, the butcher.
It was Greg, 100% Greg. Good work, Cap.
Alice and
Barry Williams was his name.
Barry Williams.
You sure Alice and Sam didn't get after it there? That was a love interest.
No, they were at, like, church choir together. She was super religious.
Florida Evans from Good Times, for sure.
Would be Esther Roll.
Damn, damn, damn.
I have her written down on my list, too. Florida Evans was awesome. She was in charge.
What do you think of Shirley Partridge?
She was good. Interesting. The Partridge Family.
The Music Mom, yeah.
Now in the Partridge Family, she might have been the fourth or fifth most interesting person on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The kids' lives were interesting. Again, as an 80s kid, hand me down. From your nonsense television from the 60s.
Yeah,
but
like,
actually, it was
Sean
pretty good.
Sean Cassidy, what the hell? I don't get it.
Susan Day in there.
Sure. So that, I mean, that's right. So for your era, tell me your thoughts on Donna Reed. What do you remember?
The Donna Reed show when I'd be homesick from school. So I didn't get my homework turned out. I'm not feeling good today. I have to stay home. Yeah.
Any thoughts on Harriet Nelson from your era on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet?
No.
Okay.
It's a little old for me.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
A little old for you? No. That's right up your alley.
No shot.
That is your era of television.
No shot. I never watched Ozzie and Harriet.
Don't say it, but it's black and white, so you were right there, front and center.
Wow.
Morticia Adams was on my list.
Awesome.
From the Adams Family.
How about Lily Munster?
Now, Lily Munster, let me tell you something right there.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
Let me tell you. Restaurant quality there.
Awfully good.
Like, I've seen her out of character. Like, you know, it's pretty good back then.
You know who I loved? Connie Britton played Tammy Taylor, the wife of the football coach of Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
I love Connie Britton. Big fan. Big fan.
Tracy Ellis Ross in Black-ish. That's a modern show that I'm watching. So where did we go with cartoons with this in this spot, JR? Do we go Marge Simpson in the top five? Does she bump out Wilma Flintstone?
Betty Rubble?
Yes, because, yeah, I think because she's got more lines. She's got more humor in it, right?
Yes. Of course, well, I was always an Ida Morgenstern person. The Sanka lady. Ida Morgenstern from Rhoda.
There's another girl.
Come on, JR.
I'd also like to nominate Kitty from That 70s Show because she is the best.
Put that back up there, Danny.
I'm trying to make it bigger for you.
Whoa.
Yvonne DiCarlo, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa.
Let me just tell you, if you could do a Google search on Yvonne DiCarlo.
Sexy Lily Munster, Yvonne DiCarlo, pinup.
Whoa.
She's just gone to the top of the charts.
I mean, she's awesome.
Tell me about the show Big Valley. You remember Victoria Barkley? No, you what?
You guys watch anything current? No, I know you mentioned Black-ish, Hoodie, and I love that show.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever watch The Goldbergs?
No.
The Goldbergs basically is my childhood.
That's with our guy, Jeff Garland.
Jeff Garland. The mom in that.
Beverly Goldberg.
Beverly Goldberg mm-hmm. is has to be on the list of the greatest current TV.